Let's open our Bibles to Luke 17. Jody?
Thanks, Pastor. Well, good morning. It's good to see you in this warm morning in South Florida. All my friends on the East Coast are complaining about getting their coats out. Here we are. It's a beautiful place to live. I'm so thankful. Well, this morning we're going to look at Luke 17 and how to have an attitude of gratitude. And what exactly does that look like? How do we develop this attitude? Later on this week, if you're doing the Whole Life Generosity Devotion with us, you'll see this story kind of tucked away later, so you'll get a little bit more. But it's one of my favorite stories on gratitude. So let's open up to Luke 17 and let's follow along in starting in verse 11. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Interesting here, the gratitude that this Samaritan felt. We notice a lot of things were alike with these 10 guys. Here's some things that I wrote down that were like, all were afflicted with this deadly disease. All had this deadly disease. All were determined to do something about it. All had heard that Jesus was coming, and they believed that he might be able to cure them, or at least he would have pity on them. All appealed to Jesus to acknowledge him as master or rabbi. They acknowledge who he is. All, in obedience to Christ's command, followed what he said and went to the priest. All were healed. But at this point, that's where the similarities end. There's only one guy that comes back and says, basically, thank you. If we look at verses 15 and 16, he says again, "Then one of them, upon seeing that he was cured, turned back in a loud voice, praised God, and fell on his face before Jesus' feet, thanking him. And he was a Samaritan." So we see common blessings, but not common gratitude. All were blessed, but only one showed how thankful he was for what Jesus did. If you look at Psalm 103:2, you see it here on the screen. It says, "Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me." Never forget the good things he does for us. Too often, we are content to enjoy the gift, but we forget about the giver. And that happens not just in our relationship with Christ. That happens with all people. We're so excited about this gift that we receive, but we forget that someone took the initiative to actually give us that gift. An unthankful heart is fertile soil for all kinds of sins. Do you realize that? Do you realize that an unthankful heart is like a bridge to all kinds of other sins? Ingratitude is a sin, just as surely as lying, stealing, immorality, or any other sin condemned by the Bible. One of the Bible's indictments against rebellion humanity is found in Romans 1:21. It says, "Although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him." Friends, ingratitude is taken incredibly serious in Scripture. God was not at the center of the gratitude of these 9 men. Verse 18, Jesus says, has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? He's kind of asking the question, has no one come back to God to give praise for what I just did for them? 1 Thessalonians 5:18, you're probably familiar with this verse, says this, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Listen close. Whenever a passage of Scripture says, "This is God's will," pay very, very close attention. God's will is sometimes like, oh man, what do we do? Where should we go? How should we do this? When Scripture says, "This is God's will," make sure you make note. It is God's will for you to give thanks to him in all circumstances. You know, thankfulness is mentioned 166 times in God's word. But what are some things that we should be thankful for? You know, what are some things that we should be, oh man, I'm so thankful. This is the first thing I think we should be thankful for is just life. You know, just life. Just be thankful for life. You're here. You're breathing. You're alive. God has given you this new day to worship and be thankful for life. I want you to notice this zygote here. You may not have looked at a zygote in a while. This is a zygote right here. This is right after conception. Right after. That's you. And look at yourself now and you're like, we all look like that originally. That's what we look like. There's enough DNA in this zygote just a few days after conception from your mother and your father for all the genetic information needed to form you. So when you see this, you think, that was me. Now look at your hands. You know, look at your arms, your legs, your beautiful faces. That's how you started. That, my friends, is a miracle. I don't care what anybody says. That's where we came from. We were like two dots, 0.4 millimeters, the size of a grain of sugar. That's how we originated. That's how we began. Be thankful where God has brought you. How about let's be thankful for food? Amen? Let's be thankful for food and shelter. You know, when I was starting my first job, I was so proud to get my first, like, real paycheck, after-college paycheck. You know, you get the pre-college paychecks, and you get the after-college paychecks, and they're hopefully a little different. And I got my first after-college paycheck and my first job in Jacksonville, Florida. I was single. I was proud. I was proud. I got that paycheck, and I just looked at it like, I'm getting paid to do this, and my hands were shaking. And I was so excited. Immediately, I got on a rotary phone, and I called my mom. And I said, Mom, this is it. I want you to cut me off. I don't want you to pay for my Kia Sophia anymore. I don't want you to pay for my insurance anymore. I don't want you to pay for anything anymore. I want you to send me all those bills because I now got a paycheck. And my mom, like I remember this like it was yesterday. She said, are you sure? And I said, yes, I'm sure. So she sent me all these bills. And here's what happened. By the time I paid my apartment that I was really proud of, my one-bedroom, 720-square-feet apartment, 8335 Freedom Crossing Trail in Jacksonville, Florida, I was sitting there, and I paid that bill, and I did my tithe check, and then I did my electricity, and I did my water, and I did that Kia Sophia, $202 a month, and I paid this insurance. I paid it all, and I looked at my checking account. It was a real checkbook, a real one. There was no online stuff then. I was looking at numbers that I had written. And I look at this, and I'd just gotten paid, and there was about $1 left. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you the conversation I had with God. This is, we got paid every 2 weeks, so all my bills were paid, but I had no money for food, no money for anything. So I'm walking back from teaching. I was a Bible teacher in the Christian school. I taught seniors and sophomores, about 200 of them. And I walk back into my office, kind of the other side of the building. It's a huge Christian school. And I sit at my desk, and here's the conversation I was having with God as I was walking along. Well, here it is. Here's the moment. You turned your back on me. I paid my bills. I did my tithe. Did everything you've asked me to do, and you're going to leave me hungry sitting in my office. Great. Thanks, God. And I'm not exaggerating. This is exactly how I was talking to him. Very sarcastic. I'm sure he was real happy. I said, that's it. About to go hungry right now. And I went and I sit at my desk, and Mrs. Stump, she was the church main administrative lady. She's about 85. She walks into my office, and she says, Jody, I hear you like bologna and cheese. And I just looked at her and said, I love bologna and cheese. And I'm going to tell you what. And it's funny now. Then it was like, I might as well have been that leper falling at the feet of Christ, thanking God for what he was giving me. This sandwich might as well have been like a $200 gift card to like Ruth's Chris or Capital Grill. That's how desperate, I thought that was it. I thought God in all his glory had run out of food and turned his back on his son. And Miss Stump was generous. And she gave something so small. And it was double. And I made it last night. And it was very hard at midnight not to eat this. But I made this last night. It was double bologna with the cheese in the middle and mustard on one side, mayonnaise on the other. That's the way I roll. And I almost ate this backstage. But I was so thankful for that sandwich because it was God's provision providing for me. A couple months had gone by. Same scenario happens. Same exact scenario. You'd think that I would learn. You'd think I'd know that God's got me. He's got my back. He loves me. He's going to provide for me. Same scenario. I'm in my car, paid all my bills, got another check. This is all before I met my wife and had in-laws that took good care of me. But I'm in the car, and I'm having that same conversation with God. And here's the conversation. Well, God, I'm on my way home, and you know that all my bills are paid, and I don't have anything in the fridge. And your servant is about to be hungry, Lord. What are you trying to do to me? And I'm going to tell you what. I've experienced some miracles. This is at the top of the list. I pull up to 8335 Freedom Crossing Trail. And this right here is at my door. Except it was much bigger. I don't know how people got word. But there was cheese. I put exactly the ingredients that were in there because I remember like it was yesterday. Cheese was in there. A big old thing of bologna. Not just Oscar Mayer, like a big thing of bologna. I really love bologna. I have my whole life. Bread. Dessert for 2 weeks. Chips with the sandwich. Spaghetti and sauce. And of course, mustard. That right there fed God's servant for 2 weeks. That's all I needed for 2 weeks. God was faithful. Now, young adults, I know we have some young adults in here. If you're seeing this right now and you're like, I really need that, after service, come to me in the lobby and just say, Jody, can I take your cooler? And you can take this because this is real food. And if you need it, just take it. I won't ask any questions. You just come get the cooler. Just bring this back to me. But you can have all of that. Guys, I was thankful for food. And you know what? I didn't think about Philippians 4:19 at that time. Listen what it says. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Why should I be surprised that he provided for me? Why should I be surprised that Miss Stump brought me a bologna and cheese sandwich? Why should I be surprised? And I want to just give kudos to this couple that gave me this cooler. And I'm going to send this to them later. This is the Chapmans. I don't know how they found out that I was hungry and had no money. I think God whispered to them right in their ear. But this couple blessed me more probably than anybody else has. And this all cost about $25. And that generous gift was the biggest blessing. I'm still talking about it 20 years later. So Chapmans, when I send this to you later, thank you for being generous to a young servant of God. Praise God that he provides. The next thing that we should be thankful for is family. Just family. Now when I say family, I'm talking biological family, and I'm talking our church family. There's some cousins that I have that live in Texas I've never even met. First cousins. I don't even know them. I wouldn't even know them if they passed by. Some of the closest friends and family that I have, big brothers and big sisters and little sisters in the faith, are church family. If you don't have this, you're missing out. You got to get involved. You got to get in a group. You got to talk to Cameron and say, how can I meet some people? How can I get in a group and do life with people? Talk to Bill Hood III and say, I want to meet people. I'm 22 years old and I don't know anybody in this town. Get in a group and get involved and do life with people. Make sure you have a spiritual family. Listen to 1 John 3:16 and 18. He says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but in action and in truth. It's not what you say, it is what you do. It's not just saying I love you. It's showing that you love people by doing something for them. That is one of the hardest verses for me to swallow right there. Man, love is not I love you. Love is my actions and how I respond to people. Paul, in his letters to the churches, uses the phrase over and over and over, brothers and sisters, brothers and sisters, brothers and sisters. My friends, we are brothers and sisters. Let's do life together. Let's take care of each other. Man, let's uplift the name of Christ. Let's praise him and glorify him for what he has done. Number four, after life, food, family, is every occurrence of life. Just every occurrence of life. God is using the trials and circumstances in your life to mold you into a lookalike of his son. He wants you to look like his son. God is a divine carpenter, and his chisel is always carving through the rough edges of our lives. Trust the providence of God. He is the potter. We are the clay. Trust him. Let him be the potter, and you just be the clay, and let him mold you and make you into exactly what he wants from you, not what you want for yourself, but what he wants from you. God has a providential, masterful, sovereign plan. He is drawing this beautiful picture. We must trust his every move. Our perspective is so limited. God sees the big picture. I want you to just look at this room. This is a big room. This room seats 1,500 people. This is a big room. And I want you to do just like a full 360 of this room. Just look all around you at all that we have. God's perspective is 360. Here is our perspective. Right here. This tiny little straw. And sometimes we trust this more than we trust the perspective of God Almighty. God has your back. He sees it all. He has this great storyline. He has this great plan. He wants to do something amazing in and through you. But he says you have to stay out of the way and not trust your perspective, but rather trust his. Trust his story for your life. Don't try to write your own book. Get in the story of God and watch what he will do in and through you. I love what Charles Spurgeon said. He said, God is too good to be unkind, and he is too wise to be mistaken. And when we cannot trace his hand, we must trust his heart. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not in your own understanding. Guys, we don't get it. Let's just be honest. We don't get it. We don't fully comprehend what God's trying to do in our lives, but we just need to trust in him with all of our heart. Job is a story that is just so crazy to me. I read through it this week, and I'm like, oh my goodness, poor Job. You know, the guy had everything, and then Satan says to God, hey, can I mess with Job? Job says, yeah. I mean, God says, yeah, take him, do whatever you want, but don't do this. Satan says, okay, takes everything. I mean, he's like probably the richest man on the planet at the time, and Satan just takes everything. And after his kids are gone, after his livestock's gone, after his wealth is gone, his wife basically says this, just curse God and die. And this is in Job 2. There's a lot of chapters in Job. And she just says, Job, just curse God and die. And listen to what Job says in Job 2:10. Here's what he says. He replied, you are talking like a foolish woman. Now let's just stop for just a second here. Men, this is inspired. All right, this is inerrant. This does not give you the right to speak to your woman like that. Because I can tell you, my life would be over if I spoke to my woman like that. He says this, shall we accept good from God and not trouble? Think about that. Shall we be okay when things are good, but not okay with God when things are bad? Do you realize that one of the promises that Jesus gives us in John 16 is in this life you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world? Friends, let's get this today. Let's not walk out of this room ever again not understanding that God has our back. And he wants us to be thankful for him. And he wants us to show a life of gratitude because of what he has done for us. There's a friend of mine in Atlanta. His name is Mike Pike. And I think we got a picture of him here. This is Mike and Lauren and Liam. And I want to read to you what Mike wrote in his Facebook just a few months back. He says, "Today marks Lauren and I's 10-year anniversary. We looked forward to this milestone in our marriage and reflecting on how much we shared and have grown together and the many blessings that God provided us with. Looking through our wedding pictures reminded me of how she looked at me and how incredible our relationship was. She gave me her whole heart every day and looked at me the same way all the way through her last days. She made me a better person and showed me how to love unconditionally and with such admiration. She showed me how to love Jesus and to make him the center of my life. I am so honored and blessed to call her my wife and thankful for each second I got to share this life with her. Lauren, you're my favorite, and I can't wait to see you again. I love you." So here's another picture. This is Lauren with their new baby Emma and Liam. Lauren died 2 days after this picture was taken by complications after childbirth. And here's Mike and his two kids now. Mike is inspiring so many people. It is amazing what God is doing through him. Just from his gratitude. Just for the fact that he's not turning his back on God. I can't imagine at that age my boys being just the little guys. I wouldn't know what to do. I would have no clue what to do. And Mike is being thankful for his wife, for what he had. Here, listen to what he said a couple days later. "Though we are still sad that Lauren is no longer with us, there is so much to be thankful for. I don't know what God's plan is in all this, but I know he has one, and it's better than I can ever imagine. Please continue to pray for Liam, baby Emma, myself, and the rest of the family as we continue to heal and figure out the new normal until we meet her again." I can't imagine. I don't think I would be saying thankful and that kind of stuff if that happened to me. Obviously, thankfulness and gratitude is the natural outflowing of a heart that is in tune with God. It's natural. You're full of gratitude when you're in tune with God because you realize what he does for you. Why should we be thankful? Because he's blessed us. And we should try to go and bless others because he has blessed us. Listen to what Paul says in Philippians 4:12. He said, "I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want." And you think, oh, that's great, that's Paul. You think, let me just make something clear. Paul's not writing this from like a mansion in Jerusalem. He's writing this in prison. He's in jail. He's in jail as he's writing this. Guys, we have this scripture to show us how we are to be, how we are to act, how we are to show gratitude. And Paul, what an awesome example he gave us by the way he spoke of this. Listen to this. Number five, the next thing we should be grateful for and thankful for is the gift of Christ. Just the gift of Jesus Christ. Like, we should thank him on a regular basis. It should be part of who you are on a regular basis to thank Christ for what he's done for you. If you're a Christian this morning, he has rescued you from death to life. He has reconciled you from yourself back to God the Father through his sacrifice for our sins. That is enough to be thankful for. We should show our gratitude. How serious should we take this? Let's look at 2 Timothy 3:1-4. But mark this. Now, as you read this, you're going to have probably the same thought I have every time I read this. We're living in the last days. Clearly. The world is a mess. in need of Christ. We are living in the last days. But listen to what he says here. Paul's saying this to Timothy. Mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. What's amazing to me about these verses 1-4 is that tucked in the center is this word, ungrateful. These are some bad things. Look, let's just be honest. These are bad things. It is a sin to be ungrateful. It is a sin to not show gratitude to God for what he's done for you. It's a sin. It's just as serious of all the others. And sometimes we're just like, you know what? I'm not thankful. I'm not going to say thank you. I love just hearing thank you. Don't you? Don't you love when you give your child something, no matter how old your child is, and they just say, thank you. Used to do events. I just love doing events for students. And every once in a while, there's like one student, like that leper, that the event's over and all the work's over and all the time's over. And that one student will kind of help clean up. And they'll just say, hey, Jody, thanks for doing this. And out of all the things that happen, that one thank you means more than anything else. Why? Because it's Christ-like to be full of gratitude, to thank people, to be thankful for what God has done for you. To show gratitude is being like Christ. Do you let others know that you appreciate them and that you're thankful for them? The Christians in Corinth were far from perfect. They had major issues, if you know the book of Corinthians. But Paul began his first letter to them by saying, I always thank God for you. When's the last time you just texted someone out of the blue? Maybe it'll be today, later on, because you're probably feeling convicted right now. That's the Holy Spirit. It's not me. When's the last time you just texted someone and said, hey, I am thankful for you. I'm thankful for what you are to me. I'm thankful for our friendship. You are a true blessing in my life. When's the last time you've done that? Habakkuk 3:17-18 says, thankful when there is plenty and thankful when there is not. Because the truth is, sometimes there's going to be plenty and sometimes there's not going to be. I want to look at three generosity gaps. These three gaps hold people back from living lives of whole life generosity. What do you know? What do you feel? And what do you do? I'll give you a great example. Hopefully I'm sure John White's in here. I did steal this from our school. I'll bring it back. But this right here, I think it's called a dumbbell. I'm not sure, or some kind of heavy weight. I got 20 pounds because I thought if I got anything less, you'd think I was a, you know. So I got 20 pounds. It is kind of heavy. But right here, I know that if I do this about 50 times a day for about 6 months, my arm's gonna expand. I know that. That doesn't mean that I do that. And a lot of us, we know the truth. We know what it means to be generous. We understand the Word of God. We get it, but we don't do it. And I can't help but think God's up there thinking, what else do I need to show you? You know, what else do you need to understand that I will give you everything you need? Don't just know something, do something. Like you hear it today. You hear be generous. You're going to be super challenged next week. Don't miss next Sunday. It's going to be amazing. Don't you dare miss next Sunday. Bring some people with you. You're going to be challenged next week to do something. And let me tell you something. There's things in my life that I know if I did them, I'd be better. But knowing and doing are two completely different things. And this morning, you have no excuse after this morning. You've been told to live a life of gratitude. You've been told to thank God. You've been told to be thankful for all that God has for you. There's no excuse. Now, do it. What are three gaps that are holding people back from living a life of generosity? Here they are. The first is fear. Most people aren't greedy. They're just scared. They're scared to give too much. They're scared to think, well, if I give this, it'll take out a little bit of my savings. Well, if I do this, it'll take out a little bit about what I have. Next is maybe temporal mindset. We live in this illusion that the earth is our home. Friends, the earth is not our home. Heaven, the New Jerusalem, is our final destination. We are just strangers passing through this earth. All of eternity, we will be in heaven with Jesus, together with our brothers and sisters, worshiping God and eating whatever we want and not gaining a pound. That's what we'll be doing. Everybody knows that. The last is lack of intentionality. When's the last time you woke up and you thought this? How can I be a blessing to someone today? I'll be honest, when I wrote this, I was convicted. Because I wake up and I think, how can I just get back in bed later? Because I love sleeping. Everybody loves sleeping. But we get up and we think to ourselves, how can I bless someone today? Man, what if every single day, everybody in this room that lives in Boca or South Florida, all around us, said, what can I do to be a blessing today? And we just started blessing other people. It would spread. It would spread. What an amazing thing that would be. Be intentional. What are you thankful for? Ask, how can I bless others? I'm thankful for this, and now I want to be a blessing to other people. Our prayers can be so shallow, like this cosmic divine gumball machine. Give me, help me, I want this, I want that. And as soon as God spits out the blessings, we keep giving. But what about when the fridge is empty? What about when you lose your job? What about when you can't pay a bill? What about when you hear some bad news? What about when your car's broken down? The key to giving is you're faithful no matter what. When I was 16 years old, I got my first job at United Supermarkets in Amarillo, Texas. And I was so excited. By the way, if you're younger in here, minimum wage was $4.25. You had to work like 1,000 hours to clear $100. So I got my first check. I think I'd worked 30 hours. And I took it to my mom. I was like this little boy, so proud to tell my mom things. I was like, Mom, I got my first check. It was $125. I'd work like 30 hours for $125. And she literally walked by and she goes, good. And as she's walking to her room, she says, don't forget to tithe. And all of a sudden, what I knew and what I was taught collided with reality and what I do. And that day, I had to make a decision. Am I going to believe what God says? Or am I just going to hear what God says? So I wrote my check to the church. I tithed. I was very precise, $12.50. I didn't round up because I was desperate, $12.50. And I gave it to the church. And I did that. I had a job from sophomore, junior, senior year of high school. And I tithed on every paycheck. And I was very proud of that. So I find out that I'm going to be going to Liberty University. And I fasted. I've only fasted like twice in my whole life. This was one of those times. Fasting and I don't do well together. It's a discipline I need to work on. Let's just say that. But I fasted and I prayed. And I said, God, I want to go to Liberty, but I know my mom can't afford it. I want you to show yourself real, and I want you to provide for me to go. So I sent in this tape of me singing to this scholarship group. They were taking videotapes of VHS, and I sent my tape in to try to get a scholarship to sing at Liberty, and I didn't get a call back. I mean, like, not even, hey, not bad, but sorry, nothing. Nothing happened. And I'm just like, great, great. So I just kept praying, just God somehow opened the door. So I get to Liberty. After I told my mom, I said, Mom, somehow God will provide. I don't know how, but he's going to provide. And she says, okay, because if not, we're going to be taking out student loans like crazy. And I said, all right, God's going to provide. So I get there in the first week of school. There's this one team that needed a singer. And the team was called Youth Quest. And I was so like excited to try out. Didn't even get a call back. And it just so happens, this guy about this tall named Scott Graham, who sang like an angel and still does. He's a worship leader, huge church, amazing singer. He gets this non-scholarship position with Youth Quest to travel around for free. About another week goes by, and there's this other audition for this team called Light Ministries, and they need a guy. So I'm already feeling completely rejected. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if I want to do this. But I went ahead and did it. There were 32 guys on the list that tried out. I put my name on there. It got down to me and two other guys, and I'm standing in the hallway, and I'm listening to these other two guys in their audition. And I'm a realist. I'm like, these guys are way better than me. I mean, they're killing it. They're so good. I don't stand a chance. So I get in there and I sing. About 3 days goes by and they call me back and say, we're going to offer you this position. And it's a full scholarship for Liberty University. And when I hear this story still to myself, I'm like, you know what I trace it back to? I don't trace it to my talent, because trust me, I heard Josh and I heard Jonathan, the two guys that sang before me. And Scott Graham, who had a voice like an angel, he was on the non-scholarship team. And this little joker here got a full ride. You know what I trace it back to? My tithing. God provided because I did what he told me to do. It may not always be in cash, but God has a way of providing. And what's amazing is I am not good with spiritual disciplines. I'm just as much a sinner as all of you, but the one thing that I'm proud of is I've never, ever missed tithing back to God what he's given to me. And you know, I have 2 master's degrees from Liberty, and I've never paid a dime for either one of those. God provided. God will do the same for you. If you'll be faithful to him, he will be faithful to you. You know, you can't control everything. You can't control all the things that happen in your life, but you can control your response. You can control what you do with it. Times of adversity are usually times of opportunity. You know, maybe you're going through something. Look for the opportunity in the story. Look for how to praise God even in the storm of life. The coolest praise was Peter when he was walking on water. And what did he say? He worshiped God. He said, Lord, save me. We look at Peter like, oh, he sunk. No, Peter walked on water. And he had an encounter with Jesus Christ like nobody else has ever experienced. I love the story of Daniel as I close. This story is so cool because Daniel had these friends, these satraps and all these guys in the book of Daniel. And they didn't like Daniel. They didn't like Daniel because he was one of those guys that's just a good guy. Nobody likes that good guy that does everything right. So they're like, how can we get Daniel? Daniel 6. And one of the guys says, the only way we're going to get Daniel is if we do it, and it's somehow a law against his God, Yahweh. And they're like, yes, that's it. So they come up with this weird law that no one can pray to anybody except the king. And they're like, yeah, we got him. Let's put this in writing. You can't break it because it's a law from the Medes and the Persians, which couldn't be broken. Let's do this. So like, we got him. We got this. And here's Daniel's reaction. When Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. 3 times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. You know the rest of the story. You know what happens. I have to tell you, he gets thrown in a lion's den. God protects him. He shuts the mouth of the lions. And then these jokers all get thrown in the lion's den, and all their family and all these guys get eaten by lions. God can do anything. Are you living your life today of gratitude, understanding that God can do anything? Because let me promise you, out of all the things I've experienced, this right here taught me that God can do anything. You know what it cost one couple? $25. Let God use you to be a blessing to others. and practice gratitude every day. Don't you dare start your prayers off without saying, God, thank you. Thank you for life. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for my family. Thank you for loving me. Thank him for what he's done in your life. How's your gratitude this morning? Are you like the nine lepers that walked away from God? Just, thanks. We'll just keep walking. We got what we needed. We got healed. We're just going to keep on walking. Are you blessing others with the gifts that God has given you? Some of you are so gifted. You could do so many things for the kingdom of God, but some of you just hold it tight thinking, I'm too afraid to give it up. Are you daily thanking God for what he's done for you, no matter what the circumstance? Thank God, no matter what the circumstance. Let's pray together. Lord, we just come before you right now, and we just say thank you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want you to take just a second. It's just you and God. Pretend like nobody else is in this room. Don't be looking around. I know people got to go do their thing, but don't be looking around. And I just want you right now at the throne of God to say thank you. He deserves it. He alone deserves our worship. So just for a second, say thank you. Maybe you're here this morning, and if you're honest, you'd say, Jody, I don't have a relationship with God through Jesus. I've never truly invited him into my life. If that's you, just come to me or pastor at the end of the service. We'll be out in the lobby, and just say this to us. Say, I need to know how to have a relationship with God. And we would be glad to tell you how to do that. Don't walk out of here today without knowing for sure that if you died today, you'd spend all eternity in heaven with God and with your brothers and sisters in this room. But just in the silence of this moment, I just want you to keep saying thank you to God. Thank you for loving and setting me free. Thank you for giving your life for me. For all that you've done, I will thank you. For all that you're going to do, for all that you've promised and all that you are, and all that has carried me through. Jesus, I thank you.